Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, I am sorry I took such a long break, but I know you understand how grief can grip us and how my sister's passing also brings up triggers for Becca, not to mention the fact that I was very close to my sister, both growing up and as adults. I still haven't sat down to take the time to put a podcast episode together, but I did not want to have another week go by without having something out there for you. So this week I have put together a couple of readings from my Reflections of Hope book to share with you. This is going to be fairly short, but I pray there will still be some hope and encouragement that you can grab a hold of. For many of us, fear becomes part of our journey. There are so many fears we have now that we did not have before. Fear brings torment. And as parents grieving the earthly loss of our child, it's easy to feel the full weight of that torment. If we are afraid of something, it means that thing has more power over us than we do over it. So if we're afraid to face the pain of our grief and to work our way through it, our fear will continue to control us. There is something much more powerful than our deepest fears, and that is God's love for us. 1 John 4:18 tells us that God's love casts out all fear. And if we have fear, it's because we don't believe in His perfect love for us. And that's understandable. Maybe we feel like He loves us, but it's not a perfect love. Or maybe we feel like He doesn't love us at all, or He wouldn't have let our child die and go through what they did and make us go through what we're going through. That's understandable because it's hard to reconcile in our minds how we can trust a God who says He loves us and yet allowed, like I said, this terrible thing to happen to our child and to us. Now, I can offer no easy fix or solution to this, although I do feel like it's very black and white. We either believe that God is good and Satan is evil, or we don't. We either fear that God is not big enough to help us, or we have faith that He is more than enough to help us through this. Personally, I think you already know, I have made the choice to refuse to remain focused on the pain of my loss. Now, that's hard to do, you know, when you experience another death. And I know at least one of you has had a recent death of another child. And it makes it really hard not to focus on the pain of our loss, even more so. But I am determined to go forward, focused on who and what I do still have. It doesn't mean I don't grieve the losses, but I don't want to live my life from focusing on the loss. I have given God the shattered pieces of my life, and I'm watching Him not only fix it, but He's actually making into something that is beautiful. Only a God who specializes in miracles can do that. And we're going to talk about miracles in just a minute. I also refuse to live in the fear of the what ifs of more loss. If that happens, I believe with all my heart that God is going to give me the grace I need to get through it. Fear and faith have the same root, which is the belief in the unknown. We get to choose if we're going to lean into the fear of the unknown or if we're going to lean into the faith and trusting God with the unknown things of our life. Let's talk for a few minutes about our faith. We all know God could have stepped in and saved our child from dying. In fact, there were several times Becca should have died all throughout her life. And God spared her. I feel like God spared her over and over and over again. So why didn't He do it on October 12, 2011? I don't know. My friend Linda lost her son in a single car accident. As a matter of fact, her son is going to be mentioned in the birthday segment later. And late one night, this young man was with his friend, and they got into an accident. The friend was driving, and this friend, if you want to call him a friend, walked away not telling anyone that he had crashed and that someone was still in the car unconscious. And eventually the accident was discovered, and Lucas was taken to the hospital. And after several days, his parents were told that he would not be able to recover. And they had to make the horrible decision to take their son off of life support. And the friend was tried in court by the state, like I said, if you can call him a friend, and he's serving time because Lucas probably would have lived if he had received immediate medical attention. Now, this accident happened on an Easter weekend, and many area churches that were packed with people for Easter were praying for Linda's son to recover. Now, obviously, those prayers were not answered. And since that time, Linda has pointed out to others that the Bible is filled with miracles and stories of hope. The 8th and 9th chapters of Matthew are full of miracles of healing. The healing at Capernaum, driving out demons, a girl being restored, a woman being healed, healing of the blind. In John chapter 11, Jesus even raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. If you've been following The Chosen, you just saw those episodes happen if you're keeping up with the current episodes. And I love the way they present that and how, you know, Thomas is struggling because he had his fiance die and Jesus didn't raise her from the dead. So many questions we have, right? One reason so many of us have a hard time reading the Bible, I think, after our child dies is because we do read about the miracles, which are supposed to bring us hope, but we didn't get our miracle. And so instead of hope, it makes us feel confused and even angry. But think about this. Being a Christian does not mean that we live on miracles, that our life is going from miracle to miracle to miracle to miracle. That's not how we live. We don't live on miracles because that's part of what makes something a miracle. It is a rare happening. It's something that hardly ever happens. That's part of what a miracle is. For the most part, our lives are lived out with natural consequences. Some of these consequences are good and good things happen, and some of these consequences are horrible. And they're just consequences of a decaying and a fallen world. But all of those feelings of like anger, confusion, you know, those things that we struggle with, to me, it doesn't show a lack of faith. In fact, if anything, it shows that we have faith because we know God could have stopped it. That's faith. We just don't know why he didn't. Now, if it helps, I want to remind you that the book of Psalms is full of asking God questions like, why? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you doing this for me? And how long is it going to be like this? These are all things that we have to work our way through. Some of us take longer than others. Many of us start taking steps to trust God again, and then we get caught up with the anger and confusion again and asking God all those questions again. We want answers. We want God to explain himself to us. Oh, just saying that sounds a bit, doesn't sound right, does it? God, you better explain yourself to me. We want to make sense of something that will never make sense this side of heaven. And this is all part of the grief journey that we're on. It's also part of our faith journey that we are on. Those of us who have been through extreme darkness, like those of us who've lost a child, have the opportunity to draw close to God in an intimacy that is life-changing when we come out of the other side of our darkness. But we are the ones who decide if that is going to happen. Now, God did not kill our child. He did not allow our child to die for that reason. I believe he allowed the natural consequences of this world to take place. And now he is offering each one of us a doorway into a place we did not even know existed. Just like I didn't know this kind of darkness existed when Becca died, I didn't know this kind of, I don't even know how to put words to it, just being able to rest in God's love, to understand the depth of God's love. And I know that sounds like, how is it even possible to have a greater understanding of God's love when he allowed this to happen. But I guess maybe that's a miracle, right? That's part of the miracle that we weren't expecting, but that God wants to give us, that we can rest in his love and in his presence. And I have found that I can do this in a way that his love really, truly becomes the very root and source of my life, resting in his love. I can't even put words to it. So fear and faith, we get to choose over and over and over again which one we're going to lean into. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is there to rescue all who are discouraged and have given up hope." I pray that today is one of those days that you pick up that hope and you decide to choose faith and trusting in a God who loves you and your child so much that he made a way through the brutal sacrifice and death of his own son for you to be reunited with your child, never to be separated again. Now, I shared this in the last podcast episode a month ago now, and being gone for this month with the illness and passing of my sister, I have not really been able to remind you. So I want to share it again because I really, really want you to come if at all possible. We are hosting a GPS Hope Weekend of Hope for you, the first weekend in August here in our own stomping grounds of Wisconsin. Now, this is going to be a special time for bereaved parents, bereavers, to come together, to be ministered to meet Dave and I face-to-face and meet each other, spend some time with us, and to share our children with each other. How often do you get to do that? Dr. Doug and BJ Jensen, who are bereavers and have experienced the suffocating darkness of child loss themselves, will be joining us with their incredibly wonderful talents of drama. BJ writes her own skits, and they are so good. And they also use American Sign Language as choreography in music to bring a measure of healing to our wounded souls. It is so good. It is so good. Now, the weekend will culminate on Saturday evening with our big celebration of hope because we're having a special dinner celebrating GPS of Hope's 10th anniversary. So if you're coming from a longer distance and you want to spend more than just a weekend here with Dave and myself and others, we do have things planned to do as a group each evening starting Monday, July 29th. Now you can check all of this out along with the tentative schedule of the weekend and what we're doing each night of the week at gpshope.org/weekendofhope. There's also a place on that page to register, which includes the Celebration of Hope dinner when you come for the weekend. And I will also put a link to this in the show notes. And I did mention that what I shared with you today came from the Reflections of Hope book. So I will put a link to that in the show notes as well. And you're probably aware by now that is a full year's reading for bereavers. It's a daily reading. You don't have to read it every day. It's not something you have to keep up with. You just pick up the book when you need a little something and you read that day's reading. But we have also now split that book into 12 monthly books. So if you don't want a whole year's worth of reading, but maybe August is coming up and it's a horrible month for you, you can just buy August or whatever months you need. So I can't put a link in the show notes to every single month. I'll put a link to it where you can, there's a page where it shows them all. How's that? So I'll do that for you. We are now going to move on to our birthday segment. Now please hang in there with me to honor all of those who have had birthdays these last few weeks while I was not putting episodes out. Let me also say that I am sorry if I mispronounce any of these names. We do have a spot on the form to share the pronunciation so that I can say it correctly, but if it isn't filled out, I have to do my best to say it the way I think it might be pronounced. So these birthdays go back to June 1st, so let's get started. Allie Custer was born on June 12th. And is forever 29. Avery Gingerich was born on June 14th and bloomed on earth to blossom in heaven. Emily Raquel Ponce Gallegos was born on June 15th and is forever 9 months. Carrie Lee Benning Birrell was born on June 19th and is forever 25. Alex Doyen was born on June 23rd and is forever 30. Hunter Josiah Whitney was born on June 25th and is forever 18. Courtney Kolb was born on June 26th and is forever 23. Lucas Christofferson was born on June 28th and is forever 19. Dominic Cardenas was born on June 28th and is forever 24. Eliane Andam was born on June 28th and is forever 15. Robert Bobby Allen was born on July 2nd and is forever 24. Charlie Rhodes was born on July 10th and is forever 9. Rachel Korn was born on July 10th and is forever 22. Eric Breslau was born on July 11th and is forever 25. As always, we celebrate with these families the day these children came into the world. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced the week of his or her birthday, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out the form, submit it, and I will share your child's birthday on the podcast the week of his or her birthday. And Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen. Corrie ten Boom, who is a woman who survived a Holocaust concentration camp, said, "When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer." Losing one's child is a true test of our faith. Not faith in getting God to do what we want him to do, but in trusting him when those answers don't come. And after the death of our child, life is pretty dark, you know that. And it feels like we'll never see light again. But I want to tell you not to jump off the train, because you can still trust your engineer. You can have faith in the engineer, in the one who is guiding your life. Being angry at God, I don't think it shows a lack of faith. To me, it shows that you do have faith, because you know he could have stopped it. And like I said, we want to know why, and it's not going to make sense. Even if we did know why, it's not going to make sense until we get to the other side and we can see a picture through the eyes of eternity of what was going on in the big picture. So really, the bigger issue is, will you still trust him? After all, he made a way for us to be together again forever, knowing this was going to happen. And that is a miracle that we can all look forward to. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.